Baruch Hashem, it is day number 338 of our daily study of Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs. And in the three chapters a day study track of Mishneh Torah, we're continuing Hilchos Malachim u'Milchamaseihem, the laws of kings and their wars, chapters 7, 8, and 9. And just a heads up, this is the second to last class in the entire cycle. Tomorrow, God willing, we'll be finishing the entire study of Sefer HaMitzvahs as it corresponds to the three chapters a day study track of Mishneh Torah, which means that those who are studying three chapters a day of Mishneh Torah are also finishing the entire Mishneh Torah. And I should mention, because I mention usually every day when we're studying Sefer HaMitzvahs what we're doing in the three chapters a day of Mishneh Torah, I should mention there's a concept of learning one chapter a day of Mishneh Torah as well, which means instead of finishing the entire Mishneh Torah in 1 year, if you do one chapter a day, it'll take you 3 years. And I just want to put that out there for those for whom that might be an appropriate upgrade. Maybe you're learning Sefer HaMitzvahs and you want to do something more. You want to start learning the Mishneh Torah, which has more details and explanations. And rather than jump all the way to three chapters a day, maybe you want to do one chapter a day. Just putting it out there. Okay, here's our mitzvahs for today. So we're studying kings and their wars. All right, negative commandment 46. Now, you remember when we spoke about the king shouldn't amass too many horses? All right. One of the things it said over there is he shouldn't amass too many horses in order not to cause the nation to go back to Egypt, because there are a lot of horses in Egypt. That is one of three places in the Torah that makes it clear that we're not supposed to go back to Egypt. And based on this, we have a mitzvah, this mitzvah, negative 46, prohibiting us from settling in Egypt. Not allowed to settle in Egypt. Once we were redeemed from Egyptian slavery, that's it. You don't go back to Egypt. Okay. Now, if that's the case, well, historically, we know that there were Jewish communities in Egypt. In fact, famously, the Rambam himself lived in Egypt. He was the physician to the Sultan in Egypt. He wrote the Mishneh Torah in Egypt. So how is this possible? There are many, many, many explanations that deal with this, meaning what are the actual parameters of the prohibition, what actually constitutes transgression of the prohibition. Some say it's only a prohibition to enter Egypt from the land of Israel. You can enter Egypt from other places. You just can't enter there from the land of Israel. Others say even more specifically that it's only prohibited if you literally backtrack and retrace in reverse the 42 jaunts in the wilderness that the Jewish people took when they left Egypt until for the 40 years in the wilderness. There are 42 jaunts in the wilderness until they entered the promised land. So one opinion is it's only prohibited if you literally backtrack and do that whole trip in reverse. And there are other explanations as well. I'll tell you what the Rambam says, though, because we're studying the Rambam. So I'll tell you the Rambam's explanation. The Rambam says it's only prohibited if you go there to settle, but it's okay to visit on business. And once you're visiting on business, it could happen that a person gets stuck there, like the Rambam got stuck there. He couldn't at the point where he was working for the Sultan, he couldn't leave. It wasn't his prerogative at that point anymore. So then it's just a passive thing that you're staying there, meaning you didn't actively go to settle there. You went there on a business trip, and then you ended up getting stuck there. And by the way, there's a sicha from the Lubavitcher Rebbe where he explains the Rambam according to the Kabbalah that the Arizal says that the reason we don't, and the Arizal, by the way, also lived in Mitzrayim. He lived in Egypt before he came to Tzfas, the holy city of Tzfas, where he taught Kabbalah. The Arizal says the reason we don't live in Egypt Kabbalistically is because all of the sparks of godliness were taken out when the Jews left Egypt, so there are no sparks there anymore. And the Rebbe puts together the Rambam with the Arizal and says, and that's why the Rambam says that you could go there for business, because all the sparks were taken out when we left with all of the wealth of Egypt, when we left from Egyptian servitude. But there are other things, like, you know, there are trade routes. So new things, which every physical thing has a spark. We're getting into a little Kabbalah over here. But every physical object has a spark of godliness. And when you use it to do a mitzvah, you elevate that spark. So there are new things that could have been brought to Egypt. And now it's okay to go there to on business because you're going to redeem that spark that's there. Okay, at any rate, positive commandment 190 is the mitzvah, the positive mitzvah, to offer peace before waging war. Now, this gives me an an opportunity to speak about something that I haven't spoken about this entire year, and we only have one more class, and that is the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, the seven Noachide laws. Why does this give me an opportunity to speak about this? Because, okay, so here's the mitzvah. The mitzvah positive commandment 190 is basically before going to war, before waging war, the other army is given an option of surrender. And the terms of surrender are that they should accept the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, the seven Noachide laws, and that they should be, they should submit themselves to the Jewish nation's authority. Now, what does it mean, the seven Noachide laws? What is that? Because a lot of times you tell people about seven Noachide laws. What, seven laws? What are seven? What are seven? Seven commandments? What are seven commandments? I know about 10 commandments, right? The Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. People know about, some people know about 613 commandments. That's what we've been studying this whole year, 613 commandments. But here's the deal. 613 commandments are the commandments that God commanded Israel, the Jewish people. Then there are seven commandments that are binding upon all humanity. And I'm just going to, not going to read to you word for word, but I'm going to tell you the source in case you want to look it up. In chapter 9, which is today's three chapters of Rambam, of Mishneh Torah, I mentioned 7, 8, and 9 today. So if you look in chapter 9, he explains to you that six commandments were given to Adam, the first man. And no, I'm not talking about the commandment, don't eat from the tree, because that was just for him. I'm talking about eternal commandments that are binding upon all of his descendants that are basically the moral code for all humanity. Okay, so there's the prohibition against false gods, worshiping false gods. There's the prohibition against cursing God, prohibition against murder, prohibition against immoral intimate relations such as incest and adultery, the prohibition against theft, and the commandment to establish courts of justice to enforce the previous five prohibitions. So you have five prohibitions and a positive commandment, which is to establish courts of justice to enforce the five prohibitions. That was to Adam. When after the flood, then Noah and his family were the survivors of that flood. They were given one more mitzvah, making it seven mitzvahs. They were given the prohibition, another prohibition, a sixth prohibition against animal cruelty, because they were given permission to eat animals, because only because of them did the animals survive, but then they were given the responsibility not to be cruel to animals. So you have six prohibitions in total, with one positive commandment, which is to form courts of justice, which enforce the previous six prohibitions. And these sound like really, really basic laws, and they are, but you should also know that each one of them are sort of chapter headings. They are more than just the basic interpretation. They also include within them subheadings under each one of these headings, and this is very important to understand, that the moral code for the world, as outlined in Torah, are these seven Noahide laws. Okay. Negative commandment 56. Here's an exception. Here's an exception. I just said we're supposed to offer a peaceful surrender before waging war. Here's an exception. Amon and Moav. Amon and Moav. Who are those? Those are nations who are descended from Lot, or some people call him Lot or Lot. This is the brother-in-law / nephew of Abraham. He was both. And he had relations with his two daughters after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the nations that came from those two pregnancies are called Amon and Moav, or Amon and Moab. And we're not supposed to offer them a peaceful surrender. However, as the Rambam explains, if they ask for one, then you got to give them one as well. You just don't initially offer it to them. Negative commandment 57 is the prohibition against wanton destruction, specifically destroying a fruit-bearing tree while in the midst of battle. You're not allowed to destroy a fruit-bearing tree, or for that matter, anything that has productivity. We don't do that, even when we're in a war. Positive Commandment 192 is to maintain hygiene in the battle camp by having a place for a latrine, not to just to have people doing their business in between the tents or wherever it is that they're staying. There has to be a part of the camp that's on the outskirts, that's outside of where people are living, even when you're at war, where obviously you don't have the amenities of home, but the latrine has to be on the outskirts. And that's a positive commandment, positive 192. And finally, positive commandment 193, it's a related mitzvah about hygiene, and that is that the weapons that the Jewish army has are supposed to have a little shovel, like for digging, like a spade, which is for the purposes of being able to cover up human waste so that that's not just laying out. Even though we're in a war situation, we're meant to keep things hygienic and clean. Okay, those are the mitzvahs for today. We'll see you for more tomorrow with the siyum, with the completion, which is very, very exciting. We'll see you then, God willing.